hands together and welcome us to the stage. Here. My name's Matt. We host a podcast where you can grab one.
Yeah.
They can hear you, but if you want to...
Are you going to do anything?
We run a regular podcast called Just Funny. Basically, the philosophy of the show is people that we think you should know who are probably not getting the attention that they need. So there's a couple of guys in the audience tonight. We're going to bring them up on stage. They are doing their own festival shows. We highly recommend you go check them out. People we've seen either do other festival shows or we've seen perform around the circuit. I spent a lot of time at open mics. I've seen a lot of bad comedy. So this is sort of like a filtering process for you guys, you know? And just being like, these guys are pretty good. So you should go check them out. My good friend Marty here, we've been doing this for a while.
So we do a normal version of the podcast. And by normal, I mean like every other podcast, enclosed in a hot, sweaty room. And where we just play clips of comedians, but this is the live format.
Yeah.
So you'll have actual humans.
You're not safe at home. You're not on your commute on your way to work. Like, you're here in the room, it's happening. Cool. All right, so I guess before we get into it, because this is all about festival, and this is we're just chatting about festival shows. I've seen a couple of good shows that I can recommend, but I just want to get the feel of the room. Does anyone see anything that they want to recommend? Like while we're all here chatting? No,
this is all your first show. Oh,
it's just for me. Everyone wants to start.
Everyone's at the halfway point. They're like, I guess. Now's the time. Halfway through the festival, everyone's warmed up. No, we appreciate you giving your time to us and to doing your first Fringe show with us this year, whether it's your first Fringe show ever or whether it's your first Fringe just this year. I've had such a lovely festival. There's so many good shows that have finished that I can't send you to. That's the nature of this festival, I guess. There's a lot of people, like, people come in, they'll do like a week, 2 weeks. It's pretty rare in Melbourne, at least, that you'll get someone doing a full... I was talking to someone while I was flying earlier. They're doing a full run. That's hard. So hard. Look at this. Imagine this for a month.
And we're doing 2 days.
Yeah. That's just... Oh, that's a kind of endurance that I don't have. I should have minimized it. And I was like, right, this is what we're going to do. No, there's some really good ones. I guess... I'll go straight into it. So well, I'm doing a show that's not this show. I'm going to do a comedic storytelling show next week. Just to give you a bit of a warm-up, just to make sure you're nice and ready for my guests, I'll give you a little sample of that show, and maybe, who knows, maybe I'll see you again next week. Alright, so give it up for Marty while he's here. My show is called I Got Me By My Goods, and it's good, right? It's a catchy title. I thought it was a catchy enough title to fill a room. We'll see about that. And it's storytelling show, so basically it's a series of stories of stuff that happened to me in different places. I'm going to give you a sample of a story, so I'm definitely not going to be able to finish it up, and hopefully that sample will be the entire show to come around, or at the very least, to send someone that you hate to come and see it, because, you know, who knows? Yeah. Right. So, I'm in America, right? I'm doing a bus trip. It's a big bus trip from Las Vegas to Texas. Now, for context, that is roughly 2,100 kilometers, roughly twice the length of the Nullarbor. So I'm traveling from Las Vegas, you know, from Fear and Loathing through to Texas, you know, through to Breaking Bad. So I'm doing the whole spectrum. It's like people taking drugs in the desert to people making drugs in the desert, you know? Like, all the desert drug spectrum, that's it. I'm hitting them all. But the convoluted path that the bus goes on, because I'm going by bus, the path is so convoluted, the way it takes, it's going to take 36 hours before it reaches its final... Yeah, that's right, that's the correct place to make. Because 36 hours is a long time in and of itself. 36 hours on a bus, that's awful. Like, I don't like being on a bus from the time it takes to get from the front of the bus to the back of the bus. Like, that's too long on a bus. 36 hours, really long time. And here's the thing. To fully paint this picture for you, I feel like you need to understand that the bus that I'm taking is a bus called Megabus. Is there anyone who heard of Megabus? Is there no one? All right, you're going to really relate to this. So Megabus, this is my best painted picture for Megabus. So if the bus is economy class, right? I think we can agree the bus is economy class. So if the bus is the economy class of the road, then the Megabus is, like, if economy class had its own economy class, you know what I mean? Basically, we're taking a music festival porta potty on a cross-country tour. That is what's happening here, all right? So that just gives you a nice, rounded picture of the bus that we're on. Why would you take such a bus, you might ask? You can get tickets for as low as $1. That is a very appealing offer, right? Tickets for as low as $1. It also attracts the strangest people, because everyone who's in there is either broke or running away. These are the only options. $1 tickets, this is a bus full of the loosest units. Right. So I'll move us forward in the trip a little bit. And at this point, the part of the reason the bus takes so long is that we're doing interconnected stops. So the bus will drop you off in the middle of nowhere. The company doesn't even have their own bus stops. They just sort of leave you in the middle of main streets. This is how you cut down on infrastructure. You leave people to fend for themselves in the middle of cities they've never been to. So the bus drops us off. Fortunately, in this city, it's actually at a Greyhound stop that they drop us off. The bus drops us off at 10 p.m. and that's when the Greyhound station closes. And then the next bus doesn't come until 4 a.m. So, yeah, that's right. So I'm just left on the street for 6 hours, like some sort of international hobo. Just making it in the world, just a small town girl trying to make it in the world. And that's, it's not quite accurate, but like, it's really just an idiot with no money. Hey, that kind of story doesn't win you festival awards, right? You gotta tell something just relatable enough with just a hint of sadness. I think that's the key. I'm not sure. I'm gonna crack it yet. We'll find out. Anyway, so I'm obviously waiting. I don't want to be sitting in the street for 6 hours. That's not super appealing. So what I do is I'm gonna try and track down shelter. Some warm. I'm gonna track down some water. And some Wi-Fi. I feel like that's Maslow's new hierarchy of needs. Like, move over Maslow, we've got a new... Because once you get that Wi-Fi, you're in. You can order food. Like, you make the food come to you. Like, all you need is that water and that shelter. Right? So that's the new hierarchy. So I find the best place that is nearby is the nearest McDonald's, right? The food's questionable, but it's fine. It'll keep me alive for 6 hours. So I go in there, and I hang out in there for a little bit. And this guy spots me in there. He's figured out that I'm either a traveller or that I'm running away. Like, he's got this big backpack, and he's sort of checking in, and he's a little bit worried. He's like, yeah, is everything all right? What's going on here? It was a really friendly gesture. We had a good conversation. The problem is with the way he ended the conversation. So he goes to me, he's checked in, he's made sure I'm all right. He goes to me, you need to be careful around this area. It's real dangerous around this area. And then he just leaves. Doesn't tell me any useful information, doesn't tell me where to avoid, where to go, how to safely get back to my destination. He's just like, it's real dangerous out there. Good luck, champ. We'll be rooting for you. I feel like it was a Batman in search of an origin story. Like, you just befriends all the people who come into town. One day, one of them will get murdered, and he'll be on the local news being like, he was a really nice guy. I will avenge him. And he just doesn't have enough tragedy in his life. So try and get that happening. So eventually, I make my way back to the Greyhound station, where I hang out. Obviously, there's no sleeping after that point. Like, no one's being like, super dangerous, is it? Get a good nap in then. That'll save me. So I sit up straight for the next couple of hours, just waiting for this knife to come out of the darkness, because I'm in America, or a bullet, just whatever it is. Eventually the bus rolls in. I tell you, I have never been more keen to get on a bus in my life. I'm not a big bus fan, but hey, I was straight onto that, like, that poo-palooza just off we went. It was a good time. I wouldn't be surprised if he worked for the Megabus. Basically, he just wandered the town, being like, yeah, it's real dangerous around here. You should probably get on that real safe bus, hey? I wouldn't at all be surprised. But, I'm going to leave you there. There's more to that journey. There's more going on there. If you want to hear the rest of it, you can come check me out next week. But let's get to the real reason why we're here. We're going to bring some guests on stage. So please make them feel very welcome for giving up their time. And please welcome to the stage my first guest, Miss Isabella Valletta.
People's houses dressed as a clown to entertain their children. And a lot of people think that's a weird job, right? They think that kids are really scared of clowns. But it's actually even easier to scare their parents. What you do is you just ask them where they're sending their kids to school. And whatever they say, just be like, oh yeah, I went there, I did really well. Get some every time. I don't just go as a clown, though. I do sometimes go as other characters. I often go as unauthorised Emma Wiggle. Anyone here a fan of the Wiggles?
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Well, no. Sure. Why not? New school Wiggles, old school Wiggles, you know Emma?
I can't say I do.
You can't say you do?
I like
her. Yeah, it's part of that new reboot.
Yeah, she's the new reboot. She's got red hair, so you know who she is. That's how it works with redheads.
I know them all.
There's like a little inbuilt GPS in there. I had to Google her. I hadn't heard of her. Because when you're playing an actual person, it's a bit weird talking about them in character. It turns out she recently got divorced from the purple Wiggle. So yeah, I don't really want to field questions on that. She's also a professionally trained ballet dancer. So that is the expectation when I arrive for the party. And the kids are all seated there like you are now. And I'm there sort of doing the ballet show, sort of going for it. And the kids are looking at me like, Emma must be sick. But they really want to believe, and they want to, and they squint their little eyes and they look at me and they go, are you really Emma Wiggle? And I'm like, yeah. Why would you think I wasn't? And they're like, well, then why are you wearing a wig? And I'm like, that's a really personal question. I'm actually going through a divorce. My parents actually are divorced. It's fine. With growing up, I never really saw them giving each other that much affection, except one time when my dad put his arm around my mum because he was reversing out of his voice. It's fine. It's good. I really like comedy. I guess I'm not really afraid of hecklers because kids are the worst. Yeah, right? And the worst part is, you know, it's true. And the other day I turned up to a party and I'm like, hey kids, it's me, Candy the Clown. And this kid just goes, you're not a real clown, you're just an old human. Which got me thinking, actually. Like, not about my mortality, I think about that a lot anyway, but it did make me think, my boy's a real clown. Right, and so I googled that too. My search history is colourful. And it turns out the original clowns appeared in like 4000 BC in ancient Egypt. And back then they were often played by the same person that was the town priest. Which is funny because like clowns and priests, like, I can't think of two characters that should stay away from kids more. They're in ancient Egypt, like going like confession, you go down, you confess your sins or whatever, and like they pull back the screen, it's just this like smiling. It's like the prototype of the first McDonald's drive-in. I've been thinking about the other day, I went to a McDonald's drive-in actually. And I was really tired. I'd done like three kids' gigs that day. And the woman, like, I ordered my usual, which is a quarter pounder meal without meat. And I kind of drove up to the window and she put out the ATM thing, kind of flopped out the ATM machine. And I just got out my phone and like, paid for it on my phone. And I was like, it's so impersonal. You know, like, there's just no human contact in that. And I do think that that is the future of sex. Like, I think that we're just going to walk around with little, like, sex wands and just, like, airdrop orgasms to each other. And we're on our way. I mean, like, think about how far we've come with it. Like, so many people are on apps these days, right? Like, my friend said she was on an app and this guy just sent her a message, like, no hello, no anything. He just sent her his address and said, let yourself in, I'll be in the shower. Which is enough to make me want to join that app. simply to do that to someone, right? And just like have them come over to my house and they walk into like the kitchen and like through to the bathroom and find that in the shower there's just a loofah with like a cartoon smiley face on it. And I'll be hiding like watching. And I'm going to play like a Bluetooth clip which goes, hey, thanks for dropping by. And they'll be like, what the fuck? And they'll get really confused. They'll go back to the app and like check my profile. And in the meantime, I've changed it all to be pictures of the loofah. Going about its life. Like, the loofah's like taking a selfie. Like, with his two loofah parents that have slightly different features, but like similar enough so you do know it is there. And I'll be like, wow, I guess that's on me. I did match with the loofah. How much time do I have? Do I just keep going?
You
want
to finish?
Oh, I'll finish off, all right. So I actually recently got broken up with, and the reason that the guy gave to me was that we looked too much alike. And what had happened was Facebook facial recognition had asked him if he wanted to tag me in his profile picture. And he'd had enough. So I actually asked around, apparently it's quite a common thing, like you are attracted to people that look like you. It's like this weird thing where you want to like replicate your genes in the next generation. You just looked at each other like, you were like, that's us. But I actually don't think we look that much alike. But you guys, you do look alike. You're reassuring me that you do? No, you don't. No, but you are attracted to each other. Are you together? Sorry if you're not. Yeah, you are. Love it. Perfection. Good. Some people are attracted to people that don't look like them. Some people are attracted to people that do. That's just me. And anyway, look, I thought that I would create something to facilitate people like me to find people that look like themselves. And I texted my ex about it. And I was thinking about creating this new app, actually. It's called Go Fuck Yourself. Thanks so much, guys. Do I stay here?
Yeah, we'll get a little chat.
Yeah, love it.
Because normally in the normal podcast, we play a clip and then talk about the person.
Yeah, so now, but yeah, I'm in the room so you can't talk shit. Yeah. And I'll be like, yeah, I love that girl, she's good. Yeah, she's on the up, isn't she? Love that bit about the loofah, hey? Sometimes that falls real flat. I just think it's funny.
Yeah, no, it's a strong premise and you... It's going to be hard to sell to some groups, like, as yeah. You're just saying, like, some people, if they're not on board with the absurd, they're just like, what the fuck is this girl?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't even want to see them again, so I'm fine with that, you know?
That's fine.
Yeah.
No, see, here's, all right, so this is my thought while you were doing the set.
Yeah.
So you talked about...
This is a comedy workshop.
What she wants.
Like, give me a message. At the end of the show, do I, like, come out with, like, a new set?
But just like if the idea that if dating someone who looks like you means that you want to pass your genes on.
Yeah.
Does it mean that people who date people who don't look like them hate them? Is that the idea?
Yeah, maybe. I can't speak because obviously I love myself. I think it comes down to some weird survival mechanism trait where you've only known your own life through your own consciousness, right? And so what it is that you're like, I've survived this long, so therefore it might be advantageous to me to create a species that can also survive this long.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Looks just like me.
They better look like me, though.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, look at the opportunities I'm getting. I'm doing really great.
So if I've gone along that lines, I'd be like, oh, maybe my looks, but maybe a better drive, like better at marketing, or just like
hygiene.
So that's what you look for in a partner, so like a bit of drive and hygiene.
real, putting the bar real high.
That's good. No, it is important. Those are both important things. My first boyfriend ever had no drive. He had an apartment in South Bank and used to smoke a lot of weed.
You say that, but I have an old housemate who, she was a big weed smoker, and she would do these days where she would just like basically just green out for a day, and then have incredible guilt and would clean the entire house the day after.
That's the hygiene aspect. Drive and hygiene.
You can live here for as long as you want. I'll supply you with all the things.
So did you end up dating her?
No.
Maybe you should look her up.
let's talk about your show.
Yeah, cool.
So the nature of your show is, if you tell stories about your experience working with children.
Yeah, you saw the show, right?
I did.
Yeah, in Comedy Festival. You're just pretending.
LA.
Oh, you're just, okay.
Yeah, LA.
I just like to always know what's going on at all times. Hypervigilant. Yeah.
Right, but it's also more like character and sketch and
yeah, it's hard to explain. Basically, it takes place, it's a narrative, it takes place across this particular day in my life as a kids entertainer. It's the wildest possible story, probably from my life. I reckon it's a pretty full-on thing that I end up doing, which is why it's called How Far I'll Go. And it's got stand-up in it, but it is storytelling. It's a full narrative, and the Luther does not feature. My director made sure of that. He was like, look, I love it, but no, it's not part of this story. And I dress up, because I actually studied musical theatre. I've got a degree in that. which is really useful when applying for jobs. I sing and I dance and I act, and so I've incorporated a bit of that into the show as well. And you know, I actually do a full kids party with the audience as well. And when I say a full kids party, like it takes 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Like when I usually do a kids party, it could be 1 to 2 hours.
That's brilliant.
In real life,
it's a brilliant job.
Yeah, it is. It's sometimes really fun as well. I've had some really cute moments too, and I get to see into people's lives and so like. It's cool. Like, I get to run the show. I turn up and I tell people what to do. Like, I'm like, get your kid and put it here. Like, I'm very powerful as the clown.
Oh, can you make balloon animals?
Sorry?
Do you make balloon animals?
Yeah. I can make heaps of balloon animals. Like, I make one in the show. And I give it to one lucky audience member, so.
Good.
Bring it out there. Bring it out there. I make heaps of balloon animals.
You're working the same balloon animals.
No, I'm advanced. I had to go through 3 months of clown training before I started.
No,
I'm not
in
even
the show,
joking.
In the show, you always meant the same.
No, I don't.
People come different lands. They can get a whole menagerie.
Yeah, they could. Look, if they were that committed to getting food and animals, yes. They can come and sit through 50 minutes of the show every night. Sure. I'd love that, naturally. Anyone's got that in
mind? An eccentric investor who's just really this is the only way I know how to get balloon animals.
Yeah, there must be an easier way. I'd be really keen on that.
Alright,
I might actually just call the show something really literal next year, like how to get a balloon out of your dress up. See, I am looking for my next comedy festival.
You'll be like, I dress up and you'll get a balloon animal.
Yeah.
The comedy show.
Yeah, perfect. Alright, I'm going to do it. Lock that in.
Well, my festival registration will open soon. So
I'm already really stressed. There's like Perth and Adelaide and all of those ones happening. Yeah, it's boring.
Even we don't care about
it. There's a lot of admin in this stuff.
It'll be like 6 months in advance. And sometimes you haven't written a full show yet. So you're like,
Sometimes you've written a full show 6 months in advance.
No.
Well, you do have drive.
I have a name.
Yeah.
I'll write the show around the name.
I did that once, actually. I wrote a show in 3 weeks before Comedy Festival called Princestuous, and it was about like dissecting whether or not princess like stuff works for women in a modern day context. It was a lot to tackle in 3 weeks. And like every family friend I ever had came along. This is actually really full on. My director convinced me it would be funny if I asked my dad if he liked anal sex. And I was like, I don't think that would be funny. And she's like, no, trust me, it's gonna be fucking wild. And like, I just have never lived it down. Like in front of every family friend he was sitting as my stepmom, my mum, and my 94-year-old grandma. Like it's literally the biggest regret of my life. Like I think on my gravestone, I'm just gonna write, I'm so sorry, dad.
What did he say?
Look, he was like, oh, she's so comedian. And he texted me the next day and was like, great show, darling, loved it, absolutely wonderful. So good.
They've never spoken
to so clever. None of his friends ever came back. Yeah, which is why I do things like this together. Can't feel like family friends anymore.
That's fair. And the show is on when?
Opening this Saturday.
Ooh, how exciting. Where?
It's in Swanston Street.
Just in the street?
Just there. On the street.
Less of the show, I'm sure
about. Look, it's a pop-up venue, so it's called the Improv Conspiracy, Swanston Street. But the reason why I'm not saying that is because there's another Improv Conspiracy venue in Myers Place. Don't go there.
Where you need to go, I saw a show there the other night, where you need to go is, you know where the subway is on Swanston Street? It's like right, there's a building right next to it. You go in that door, up the elevator, if it's working. Like, if it's turned on, you might have to wait for someone to turn the elevator on.
It sounds like no one's going to come. And I was like, fuck, I can't get there.
No. You, like, there's usually people...
Should we go to the subway?
Because actually one night I was like in that subway and a guy just walked in and dropped his pants and started reading the newspaper, and he was a flasher, obviously. And I was
that
just,
was what a shock stuff.
Yeah, that's
a
new show. Coming up in a new concert.
Yeah, a story to tell.
Yeah, then my director's like, ask him if you like saying
it. You like dad, put your belt
on. Yeah, that was Subway Dad. Anyway.
So get up front as well. I've got flyers, that's the easiest way. I'll give you a flyer if you want to come. Alright, let's get this show going along. Get up here.
Please put your hands together, you've just finished performing, so you might be a little bit tired. Mr. Ian McCartney! Woo! Alright, thanks for having me, thanks for coming along, everyone. Apologies in advance, my voice is a little bit fucked. My show opened today, this is true, and I woke up this morning with a sore throat and a giant lump in my neck.
Oh,
no good. I went to the doctor, and even the doctor didn't really know what was wrong with me, so he just prescribed me with antibiotics. And then he said, good luck with the show, in the most menacing tone I've ever heard in my phone. Like, it definitely wasn't like, hey man, good luck with the show, it was like, good luck with the show. What are you doing, 6 nights? Yeah, we'll see. So I think I'm dying tomorrow. Part of that. It's going to be here. I turned 23 this year, which I feel like is a weird age. Because I feel like I've missed out on a lot. Like, my friends have all used the last few years to become successful. Like, they have a bit of money, they're living comfortably. And I feel like I've just gotten left behind on all that, you know? Like, a friend of mine texted me the other day, she was bragging that on that day she had made the most adult purchase that she's ever made in her life, which was a $1,200 koala mattress. And I realized that on that exact same day, I also made the most adult purchase that I've ever made in my life, which was a 2-month supply of antihistamines. Bit different. It's $29 from Chemist Warehouse. Or $22 after $7 cash back. And you better believe I'm getting that fucking cash back. It's 2 weeks of free antihistamine, come on, dummy. I crunched the numbers, baby. I'm single at the moment, which is a bit weird. I don't really know if I like dating. I don't know if I'm going to do it anymore. I feel like my mum's got it all figured out, because my mum recently turned 60. And she's been a single mom ever since I was a little kid. But it really seemed like over the last couple of years she's kind of given up on the idea of dating, on the idea of finding someone. Which, again, a surface level, seems like kind of a sad thing. You know? The more I think about it, the more I think it's actually just a nice, liberating decision that she's made for herself, you know? Because I think what's actually happened is my mom just looked around at all the single 60-year-old dudes and just gone, I'm going to sit this one out. Do you know what I mean? There's only four reasons a 60-year-old dude would be single, and a dead wife is the best one. It's so big. He goes dead wife, fresh out of prison, scarred from the war, and my next wife hasn't been born yet. That's it. They're all the reasons. No good, I don't know. I just struggle with dating, I'm too self-conscious a person Like, I just get upset by dumb things. I recently made the mistake of dating someone just, like, way older than me. Has anybody ever done that before? Are you also saying, that's smart. That's good. Because it's stressful, man. I'll tell you that. It's fucking stressful. This is what it is, right? Because every time we were hanging out, I can just see that you're mad that he didn't say yes.
No, he did say yes.
Oh, he did say yes. Oh, I'm sorry, man. Good job. You're getting late tonight.
I'll also talk about that.
What was that?
You're not anymore.
Yeah, well, now who knows? I don't know where to find out. I don't know what I just said means. But I'd like it edited out, I think. Yeah, podcast. I don't know, man. It's stressful being someone other than you. That's the point. It's stressful. Do you agree, man?
I agree.
Yeah. This is what it is, right? Because every time we were hanging out, I just see the gears turning in other people's heads, just like trying to figure out like what our relationship is. Like, if we're walking down the street, I can see someone walking towards us, just looking very confused. And then just that eureka moment, we're like, oh, yeah, they've clearly been forced to do a uni assignment. That's what this is. I just think it's silly, man. I feel like there's this weird, like, masculine trait where, like, whenever a dude sees another dude with someone more attractive than them, their first instinct is to get, like, angry about it. They're just absurdly angry. Like, their tiny caveman mind is kind of praying that maybe I've got, like, a nice personality, you know, I'm like a big dick. Like, who knows? You know? No, man, I think it's silly. I think if you're a dude and you see me with someone hotter than me and your first reaction is to get angry, just remind yourself that I'm just 4 months away from being very sad. That's all that's happening. I'm an idiot, I don't know how these things work. I'm punching above my weight, I'm gonna get knocked out. Those are the rules. It's silly, man. Like, I spent most of the relationship, honestly, just trying to figure out what the deal is. Like, just trying to figure out why she was hanging out with me. And I think I figured it out. I think this is what it is. I think she's just smart. She just knows that if she dates someone uglier than her, then I just have to make an effort. That's the only option. Do you know what I mean? Like, an ugly boyfriend can't be late to dinner. It's not like an option that you have. There's a clear formula. You get 5 minutes anyway for every visible ad in your body. That's how it works. I'm not very good at maths, so it's just 30 minutes early to everything. Doing crunches every day. Trying to build some credit. It's true, I mean, I think I was trying harder. It's true. This is what I think. I think if you're a straight woman, you should just always date someone uglier than you, because you'll definitely get to come. That's all I can do. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying I'm particularly skilled. I'm just saying I'm fucking determined. So I'm like the short kid on the basketball team. You know, like, what I lack in skill, I make up for in aggressive team spirit. Score a basket, it's purely a coincidence. To be honest, you guys have been so lovely. It's my set.
Yeah, James Cuffey, he must go for the Melbourne Comedy Scene.
What have I done with the court there?
It's alright, we've got to a little bit. No problem. So a quick story, not to.
It's an aggressive finger, my dude.
Sorry. It could be more aggressive. So, festival time a couple of years back, I was out with my partner, and we were sitting in front of a venue just waiting for another show to start, and this very drunk Irish man came up to us and just looks at us both and goes, "What the fuck are you doing with him?" I was like, "Oh, thanks." And we could not get rid of him. He wanted an answer, and he would not leave until he got an answer. He was giving her answers. He was like, "Just say he's funny! Just say it! That's all you need to do!" And she was just like, "This is too much. Like, this was too much for her." She just was shutting down, and I was trying to intercept and play, like, you're drunk, go on, off you go. Like, I don't know if you're going to start a fight or not. Like, you're very aggressive right now. But yeah, he was very in both of our faces.
Well, like, he wanted to date her. What would he have done if she was like, you know what, you're right.
And off she goes. Yeah, like, I don't know, maybe he's going to go home and write his thesis on it. I've cracked it. This is what, I don't know what his goal was, aside from getting answers, but when he's got the answer,
yeah.
Like, what was he going to do?
In a piece.
How was he going to apply that?
Yeah, are you still with that lady?
Yeah, we're still
together. Oh, nice. Well, if a John Garishman can't come between you, then.
He will. but no, so I feel like I was very related to that a lot, because I was just like, oh fuck, that was 2 years ago. That was, the rest of that night was just her going,
just looking at you with
a lot of thinking. let's talk about your show. Let's talk about you. So, I haven't called your show yet, but I've seen you do a lot of stand up. So what would you want to tell people about your show? And what can you, how can you sell us on the fine table?
Don't come, it's awful. No, it's great.
That'll be him.
I opened tonight, so it was fun. It's my debut out. I've been doing comedy around Melbourne for about 4 years, and this is my first time just doing a show on my own. It's loosely based on the Strokes album, Is This It? Any fans of the Strokes in?
Yeah,
that's it. Yeah, that's it. But also, if you don't know the album, that's fine. You can still come to the show. It's, it's not for like niche Strokes.
Super niche Strokes. That's real niche.
Yeah. I've been having a dream. I've been in my life. Yeah, that's the show.
Do you have any balloon animals?
Did you get this program?
I'll have to learn. Can you teach me how to do it?
You're just going to make all the members of the Strokes as